G'day, Jason Belmonte from Orange, New South Wales, and I am a temping bowler.
Are you really still from Orange, New South Wales these days? Where do you live?
Yeah, still live in Orange, yeah. I have a wife, three children, mum and dad, my sister, cousins, aunties and uncles, a very large extended family, all still living in Orange. So I just have to commute to work. It's a long way to commute, but you know, when you love where you live, it's hard to leave.
Where is the centre of bowling in the United States? Where do you have to base yourself when you're there?
Well, I'm lucky that the way the tour is scheduled and the way that it is set up is you don't necessarily have to be based there at all. You can literally hop, skip and jump to each of the pro events. A particular swing might last anywhere between 2 to 4 weeks, and then there'll be a bit of a gap. So I get to go over there. You know, maybe I start it all off in, say, somewhere like Dallas. Then the next stop will be in Houston. The next stop might be in Las Vegas. Next one might be in Los Angeles, and then I can fly home. So you're never really basing yourself in one particular spot for too long. And that works really well for me and my family because I can go for a few weeks, come home for a week or two, and then just do it again. So when I say I commute, I literally mean I'm back and forth from the States. You know, I actually try to drive as much as I can, which I think scares a lot of the guys I travel with because I'm quite confident. But, I mean, every now and then I might drive on the wrong side of the road. I mean, it's not for too long. It's usually just for a block or two. But, you know, they're always worried. But I always tell them, nah, that's all right. It just adds a little bit more adventure to our trip.
Explain to me your career path of going from someone who's bowling well because you've grown up doing it in Australia to actually getting yourself onto the tour in the States.
Yeah, actually, one of the pieces of advice that I give to young and aspiring bowlers is that bowling is a game that it's a repetitious game, so you need to be very good in repeating what it is that you want to do. But there's a lot of knowledge behind it. Things that people don't realize is, you know, we have a lot of information that you need to know about oils and oil patterns, bowling balls and the materials the balls are made out of that interact with the oil and the oil patterns can determine whether you bowl well or not. The ability to handle your mental game. So there's all of these aspects to bowling that take a long time to learn, and a lot of kids will come straight out of college in the US and want to go straight to the pros, and my process was very different. I started in country New South Wales, and then I went to the metropolitan cities of Australia. When I got really good in those parts, I then traveled to Asia, and then I traveled to Europe, and all of these were years long stints. So when I came to the Pro Tour, I was 26 years old, which for today's terms anyway is quite a late bloomer. You know, most of the guys that have come out on tour now are between the ages of 19 and 22. So these kids want to come straight out on tour, and I often say there's so much to learn before you come and bowl against the very best. And it can be a hard lesson to learn on tour. You know, it's brutal out there. The guys are the best in the world. They give nothing away. You know, you have to earn every single placing that you get, and it can be a rough experience when you're a young, immature player trying to learn these things. And you know, most of the guys on tour aren't going to give away their secrets. You know, it's their livelihood. Where I think internationally, it's probably a little bit friendlier environment. You know, you talk a lot more between players about, you know, things that you're doing or seeing or how you can help each other, where the American tour is very cutthroat. It's, oh, you're struggling? Good. You know, that makes my job easier.
Explain oil patterns to me. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's one of the hardest parts of our game to explain because there is an oil that we put on top of the lane. Its main purpose is to protect the surface of the lane. However, you can design oil patterns, meaning I can place the oil on the lane in a certain way, and that can increase or decrease the level of difficulty. So much like a golf hole, you know, if I have no trees, short rough, no bunkers, no water, I know that's a very easy hole to play. In bowling, similarly, the more oil we have towards the inside part of the lane, the less oil to the outside part of the lane creates that very easy oil pattern. Meaning, if I curve it towards the edge, if there's less oil there, It's going to create friction. If I create rotation, the ball will curve back towards the pocket. If I miss inside of target because there is more oil there, it'll slide in the oil, holding itself towards the pocket. So you can create these oil patterns that range in difficulty. Now, on any given Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, you're more than likely going to see a very easy oil pattern. However, on the Pro Tour, the way that we design our oil patterns on tour is to create an extremely difficult oil pattern, meaning if I miss, you know, 2 centimeters to the right of my target, I will get a split. If I miss 1.5 centimeters to the left of my target, I will get a split. If I bowl the ball just 1 kilometer an hour too fast or too slow, I will get a split. So the hardest part is then translating what happens in a, you know, mundane Tuesday night oil pattern somewhere in the world to what we do on tour, because it's invisible.
So how do you actually go about creating an oil pattern? Do you get to oil your lane before you actually bowl?
Not me specifically, no. But with technology today, there are machines that are, you know, we're talking $50,000, $60,000 machines that have the ability to lay down or oil the lane any type of pattern that the user wants. So the Pro Tour has a specific set of patterns that they use that are obviously incredibly difficult. However, in my own center at home, for my own league bowlers who, you know, aren't at the skill level of the Pro Tour, you know, we have the ability to program the machines to lay down very easy oil patterns. So the hard part, like I said, is because it's invisible, you can't see the differences. And one of my huge pushes towards the industry is to introduce a colored oil, so you and I and everyone else can see the oil pattern, allowing that level of difficulty to be visual, much like golf. The hole with water on the left, bunkers on the right, high trees, high rough. Yeah, I can tell that's a really difficult hole because I can see it. And I want the same thing to happen to bowling.
What is your training regime like to keep yourself physically fit? I particularly think that you're holding a heavy item towards one side of your body, which is creating a muscular kind of imbalance there. It'd be very easy to get your back wrecked doing that all the time. So what do you have to do to keep yourself fit for bowling?
Yeah, look, another misconception about the game is, like you said, it's most people go bowling and it's a 1 hour or half hour experience. When we're playing on the Pro Tour, we're bowling 8 hour shifts. It is 8 hours using a 15 pound ball, walking towards the line, throwing it down the lane, and then repeating that over and over and over. And then you add the stress of, you know, a high level competition, you know, pressure moments, all of that comes into consideration. So when you're preparing at home, I do a lot of walking. I want to make sure that my legs, especially I live, you know, there's quite a nice mountain where I live, lots of hills. So, you know, I'll challenge myself against nearly anyone, except if you do it professionally, to walk, you know, and walk as far as I possibly can, because I need my legs to feel very fresh from the last game, from the first game to the last game. Like you said, you know, there are wear and tear items on your body when you're doing something repetitively for that long. It's not just one day, you know, we'll compete for 5 days straight at 8 hours long. So it's a 40-hour week of bowling a ball. You know, you're going to feel sore in your knees and your wrists and your shoulders. So you do, you try to make sure that you strengthen those parts of your body, your lower back, your upper back. You know, for me, I like to do a lot of stretching. I'm a relatively flexible person. For all the yoga that I do and Pilates and things that I never thought I would ever do, I'm doing now because I realize it actually has a lot of benefit.
Do you go and find like a yoga class or a Pilates class where you are, or is this something you quietly do in a hotel room?
Yeah, you're quietly doing my hotel room. You know, there are a lot of really cool digital courses that you can take now. So, but now that I've done them for enough, you know, I have my own little routine. So, you know, typically when I'm on tour, you know, every hotel that we stay in has a nice gym. So, you know, you might do some very light weights. You might do a lot of walking or running on the treadmills. And then, you know, when no one's watching you, you'll be, you know, putting on your leotard and and doing your yoga in the evenings.
I dare you to wear the leotard to a bowling competition one day. That's what I want to see.
Hey, listen, our stereotype of bad clothes is already out there. We need to break it, let alone bring in leotards.
Leg warmers, that's what you need to add.
Leg warmers, wristbands, the sweatbands around the head. Yeah, I hear you. 1980s, let's go.
Jason Belmonte, one of the things you're known for is a bit of an unorthodox style of bowling. Can you describe how you go about bowling a ball?
Yes, the two-handed technique has certainly separated me from the rest of the tour in particular, but it's a style that over the last 10 years or so has certainly grown internationally. I think the last stat that we had was about 25% of youth players around the world have adopted the two-handed technique. And the best way to describe it is imagine a rugby union scrum half passing the ball to the fly half. You know, it's that motion of the spiraling torpedo pass right from the scrum to the fly half. That's the best way to describe it. If you really want to know what it looks like, YouTube Jason Belmonte and you'll quickly find a video.
You've also become known for stunt bowling. What is your current favourite stunt to show off to people?
Yes, I have done quite a few tricks, worked with some pretty big and popular groups in the US, none bigger than probably Dude Perfect. We've done two videos together, and I think my favorite trick in all of that was the world's longest strike, which was 250 meters long. And when I tell you that when that trick came off, it was the most joy I have ever felt in all of my life. Now, I've been married and I have three children. So be very wary that when I say this, what I'm relating it to. But it is the fifth most amazing thing that has ever happened to me in my life.
How did you manage it? Where's there a 250-meter bowling lane?
No, there wasn't a lane. We were at the Dude Perfect headquarters, and at the back of their facility is a massive car park. It's kind of an industrial area. So there's this one little kind of like laneway within the car park that, yeah, it has a few bumps and it has a few like drainage areas. So you have to be pretty wary. But this was a trick that took close to 5 hours to pull off. And it was throw the ball, chase after it. Oh, it missed, picked it up, ran back to the start, did it all over again. And we did that for 5 hours straight. And it was in the middle of their summer in Dallas. It was hot. So once the ball got past about three quarters of the way, there was always this, please let it be this time. So when you would miss it, you just, you know, felt like a kick in the guts. And then finally that last roll, you know, we're watching it. And there was almost this, all of us were just willing this ball to get to the pins and actually knock them all over. And when it happened, all of us, the Dude Perfect guys, myself, we just were hugging each other like I said, like it was a miracle. It was amazing.